So I really like that logo. That logo's fantastic.
I'm really pleased with the way that come out. I know. I mean, it's obvious that I've nicked the two bigger Spectrum Mags logos and just merged them into one, really.
I wouldn't say nicked. I'd say it was a homage.
Homage.
Yeah.
That's just another word for stealing.
Welcome to episode one of the Retro Asylum podcast. I'm your host, Andy, formerly known as the Real Local Maniac. I don't want to be known as that anymore because it's a bit pretentious. And with me, I'll let him introduce himself, is...
Mr. Dean Swain, also known as Swainy.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, pretty good. So this is a new podcast for the new site. The new site's not up yet. I'm hoping... by the time that this podcast does come out, we will have a site to pop it on. And if not, well, I don't know, I'll just let it float around the interweb, all around.
Well, I've actually got a very good feeling about this. Why? But it's just, you know, putting a trailer together with that bit of music and designing the logo and the ideas that we've been bashing about. I've got a good feeling about this one. So hopefully it's got a bit of a new vibe to it and a new bit of life in it.
Yeah, so basically, Retro Asylum is a sister site of the site I used to have, well, still have, which is 1HMPS Retro. So I want to give a big shout out to Melk and things like that himself, Tony.
Things like that.
Things like that. So that takes me to the next section is we're going to play a little game dedicated to Tony, and it's called the Things Like That game. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever heard the 1HMPS Retro podcast. Now, Tony, nice fella, whenever he does a podcast, he says things like that. And he says it about 100 times during the podcast. So just for a bit of fun, I've decided we'll see if me or Swainy can basically try and stop ourselves saying things like that. If Swainy says things like that, that's 1 point to me. If I say things like that, it's a point to Swainy. We might not even say it, but you know what? I thought I'd throw that in there. So are you up for that?
I'm up for that, mate. And things like that.
It's 1 point to me already. Right, so let's quickly tell you guys what we're going to be doing. We're going to tell you a little bit about what we've been up to. We've got some site news for you. We've got the game of the week. We've got the music of the week. We've got the remake of the week. And we're going to round things up and tell you guys where you can find us. So, do you want to start things off then? What have you been up to then, buddy?
I have been up to the usual, which is lots and lots of work. But getting away from that subject, I've also been looking into getting a Vectrex games console because I've got to admit, mainly I stick to emulation when it comes to retro stuff because I don't always have the space and you know, a lot of these systems are very expensive. But the thing about the Vectrex was it came with its own TV monitor and emulation just does not do that system any justice. So I'm thinking about getting one of those, but they're...
What made you get one, mate? What made you decide, you know what, I'll get a Vectrex?
Well, we was discussing our top 50 retro games a few days ago, and a few of the old games that I really enjoyed to play were on the Vectrex system, and I started looking at them on YouTube and then checking out eBay, and I haven't actually got the money to do this at the moment, but I've got to admit, I think by the end, you know, before Christmas, I hope to have one.
But just remember, buddy, before Christmas you'll be married, so
yeah, that's true.
And how much do these things go for, by the way?
I think the system you're probably looking at about 150 quid, which is quite dear for a 30
it
year
is, yeah
it is dear, but you know, they're unique, and I didn't actually personally own one. One of my cousins had one, and I used to pop around there all the time just to play on the Vectrex. So, yeah, it's a system I really do miss and would love to be able to play one, you know, as and when I wanted to. So,
I'll be honest with you, I've never actually played one. I don't really know that much about it, to be honest. So I might have to check it out on YouTube.
Yeah, check it out on YouTube because it's a vector graphics system. So the games look very different to most console games, especially around that time. and they play very smoothly. There's something magical about the way all the games move very nicely. There isn't the biggest range of games because I think the system was only on sale for 2 or 3 years. Unfortunately, the big Atari games crash of 1994 wiped the system out. An American-based firm that produced it. But, there's some... although it's not got a massive games library, there's some quality games on the system. So,
Was it a cartridge-based or disc-based?
It was cartridge-based. It was basically... It's like having a TV, little black-and-white TV up on its side.
Right.
And you plug the games on the right-hand side, if I remember correctly. And, it was a great little system.
I'm beginning to actually picture that in my head. I think I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah, you used to have to put colour overlays on the screen if you wanted colour. It's that old-fashioned, but there's something unique about it.
I think I've seen something on YouTube. I'm not sure whether it was Steve Benway or whether it was Guru Larry who was doing something.
Benway's definitely got one. I've seen him do a few videos on it. Who else was there? Dr. Ashins.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely got one. Guru Larry's probably got one hidden away somewhere, since he's got everything, the lucky sod.
But then again, he's not married.
No, so. That's it.
So where are you going to put this then?
I don't know yet. See, they're not too big. I don't know. I've got a big shed that I've got to empty out, and that's where I do all my stop motion stuff. So I'll find room for it somewhere.
Right, okay. So have you been playing any other retro games recently then?
Not massively. The only thing I have been playing really is Another World, because that's been re-released on the iPhone.
I love that game. Didn't that have like 2 sequels actually, or was it 3 sequels?
There was one direct sequel, and then you had, Flashback, wasn't it, I think, which was by the same developer. It wasn't
a sequel as such, but the other one, I can't remember what it was called, the original one. But what is it about Another World that you like?
To be honest, this gameplay is very frustrating. It's kind of limited, but I don't know. It literally does take you into another world. Jesus, that sounds. It's got a great intro. It's got rather unique 3D graphics. Even at the time, it was... there wasn't much around that looked like that game.
I think it's the animation as well. Looks
stunning. The animation.
The use of colour as well.
Top class. Yeah, it's one of those games. I'm trying to think of the names of them. You had those cartoon games where you just had to press up at certain times or down.
Well, sort of like the Dragon's Lair type.
Dragon's Lair and Space Ace and all that. So it's similar to that, but with... it's not a cartoon, it's actual 3D graphics, and you've got more control over the character. But there's certain set pieces. So, it's good. It's rather tricky on the iPhone because of the controls, as usual. But it's been given a HD makeover, which looks rather nice. And, still, I find it very playable, but frustrating at the same time. It's got that one more go sort of thing.
I could never get past the bit where there's a cage and you've got to swing or something on it.
That's fairly easy, I think.
I'm terrible at it. I was better at Flashback. So any other games you've been playing then, buddy?
Like I said, it's mainly on the iPhone. There's a little game that's been released called Stardash, which is basically it's been done in a Game Boy style. So it's sort of that yellowy monochrome graphics. NES style music, the 8-bit music, rather playable. Another little platform game I've been playing called League Evil, which I believe probably about a year old or so, but again it's got that pick up and play value to it. You just have to have another go. And I think that's pretty much it. But
why do you reckon you still play retro games? Does it suit your way of life now? Because you haven't got enough time, and those games are sort of, you can play like arcadey style.
Yeah, you can play them for 10, 15 minutes or half an hour, and then just come back to them a couple of days after and pick up where you were, sort of thing. Or a lot of the newer games, they can be completed rather quickly, but you have to devote a day to them, whereas, you know, I don't have that kind of time anymore. It's, you know, some of the people I work with, they've recently booked off a week for Gears of War 3, and, you know, that's just not going to happen. I've got a 5-year-old daughter who will not even let me watch the TV, let alone use a console on the TV. So
I know that feeling,
she
mate.
She rules the roost.
I'll tell you what, dude, let me tell you a little bit what I've been up to. Now, I'm basically behind the scenes. I've been trying to set up this whole new site. I just bought the domain name today, and I've just been trying to find out exactly how I want the site layout to look like.
Mm.
Now, I was going to use something very similar to the 1HMPS retro site, but then I thought, do I really want it looking exactly the same? And I'm not too sure. So I want it to be practical, but to look nice and just to be easy on the eyes.
Yeah.
So I'll see, and I'm still umming and erring whether I should actually create a forum or not. So I think what I'll do, I'll do the site first, and then I'll create the forum.
You know, the forum, they're nice things to have, but at first you need to have the visitors, and otherwise they seem a bit bare. You know, there's no one posting, so
yeah,
it can take a while to build these things up. So I'd definitely suggest get that site done first of all.
Well, you know what? It's really bizarre, because I don't know if any of our listeners have listened to the previous podcast, but we did this podcast, and it was titled Game Over, and it was meant to be me retiring, going off into the sunset, never podcasting again, never blogging again. And basically what happened was I spent time with my wife, and she got fed up with me, and she said, look, you know what? Why don't you find yourself a hobby again and actually just do that stuff again? I need my own space. And I was like, you know what? I will do that. It does sound good. So, hey, that's why I'm back, and I love retro gaming.
That's it. I mean, you know, I think everyone needs to have a pastime, something to spend their time on occasionally. You know, you don't have to be devoted to it 24 hours a day. I think a site like this, it could work quite well if you just upload stuff as and when, you know. It doesn't have to have a schedule.
What sort of things are you bringing in to the site then?
I am bringing my crappy reviews.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know what I'll be bringing. It'll be my views on certain games, and hopefully, like I said, if I'm buying a Vectrex system, show people what that's all about. Yet another opinion on a few old games. But, I just hope, you know, there's some people out there who start to like my views on games, and, you know, if they've... You can latch on this... You get to, years ago in the old magazines, there were certain reviewers who I would actually take notice of.
Yeah.
Whereas you had other reviewers who, you know, you just didn't agree with what they were saying. So you just ignored basically their reviews because you know, every now and then you'd get some idiot say that Renegade 3 deserved 90% and it didn't.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I know exactly what you mean, mate. Yeah. So, I mean, I'll tell you what I'm bringing to the table. I'm bringing sort of 8-bit walls back. WTF, 16-bit wars, I'm doing some arcade game reviews, I'm doing Master System, Spectrum, Commodore 64, a bit of everything, but the difference that I'm doing this time as well, I might do some sort of featured articles, I might talk about a console and just not do any videos, I might just sort of like write a big written thing about it.
Yeah.
And just little things like that. So it's basically, I want this to become like an interactive magazine, just sort of like the good old days, you know, nice reviews, quizzes, a bit of everything,
yep.
Showcases, maybe a few maps of a game, some music, just a whole spectrum of it all.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the way I see it is it's just to remind people of how the gaming scene used to be, and to hopefully just, it's like catching up with old friends is the way I see it. It's, like I said earlier
on. You know what? I like that. I might use that as a tagline.
Yeah, you might.
Retro Asylum, like catching up with old friends.
I wouldn't use that if I were you. Sounds crap. yeah, it's just nostalgia. You know, obviously we're all, when you start getting older, you do start looking back at your childhood and things that you relate to, and it's just reminding people of forgotten classics and things like that. That's another point to you.
That's two for me. I've been trying so carefully not to say that word, because I think sometimes it does get overused a bit too much.
It can do, yeah.
You know, a whole podcast could end up being That word.
It could. Maybe we should just say "amph" like that and slow it down and just run it for 60 minutes.
Yeah. All right, I'll tell you what, though. Let's move on to the little next section, which is the news section. Now, I'll be honest with you, Swainy. I haven't got any music in mind which I'm going to use for the news section. So I don't know if you want to hum a tune. I don't know if you want to sort of...
Well,
make up
seeing
a tune
as we're talking
tune.
About nostalgia, I think we should go back to the 1980s and use the TVAM opening tune.
Which one was that one?
Oh, I can't hum it. We'll have to. I'll find it and we'll play the file over this section, maybe.
Right. No, because the only thing I can think of is but that's like the news at 10, isn't it?
Well, that'd be quite good as well. I could be Trevor McDonut.
Trevor McDonuts.
Yes. Hello, good evening, goodbye. Do you like that?
That's all right. I think you should do the whole next section as Trevor McDonald. Right, so what is your news? What are you bringing to us in, mate?
Well, the Atari 2600 is back on sale. I don't sound anything like it, do I?
Oh, that's going to make some interesting listening. Right, so what can you tell us about this Atari 2600, then?
Well, Blaze, who have brought out numerous versions of old retro consoles with all their built-in games and what have you, have decided to bring back the Atari 2600. However, it has only got a certain amount of games actually built in. So, yeah, it's being called Flashback 3, classic game console, but it's in the style of the old Atari 2600.
What happened to Flashback 2 and 1?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out the other day when I first saw this. How many games? I think there's about 50 on there. But it's all... See, the trouble with the Atari is I found that most of the classic games were by Activision. Now, of course,
you're right.
Because of the licensing agreement on this, you're only going to get games on there that were published by Atari themselves. So I'm trying to look down a list, see if there's anything that really sticks out. Centipede.
Yep, Centipede.
Yeah, remember Centipede.
I used to have that on my old Atari.
Adventure 2. Asteroids.
Never played that.
Asteroids. I'm trying to think what the Atari version was like. It was so long ago, I can't really remember. But yeah, basically you've got 50 games on there, but this thing costs $49.99.
Wow, it's a bit steep, actually.
I'll find that a bit steep for... Oh, sorry, 60 games. Yep, 60 games. So
still, for what you're getting, though, it's still a bit pricey.
Yeah. You get two Atari-style controllers.
And what does the actual thing look like, then? Because what I might do, I might... once the site's up, I'm going to put all these as site news. So every time we find out something, I'll put like a little thing on the site... with a little picture, a little description, how much it is and so on, with links to where you can get it from, so...
Right, well, it looks like there was a few different models of the Atari 2600, and although I had one, I'm not up there, you know, I'm not exactly the mastermind when it comes to Atari. It's basically the old black console with the bit of wood panelling along the front with...
Yeah.
Instead of the old switches... They've stuck big yellow and red buttons on it.
Yep, I've got the picture in front of me right now.
Yeah, you got that.
It doesn't look
nice. The controllers
look
very... No, it doesn't look great. It's nice, you know, to see the old Atari logo, but we see that on so many games these days as they are now a publishers. I mean, it's a totally different company. They're just using the same name. So, yeah, it's nice to see these things, but I'd rather them just reissue the old... console itself, or at least have the old console with like an SD card or something that you can just, you know, upload a load of games onto it.
Well, I'm sure years and years and years ago, I'm sure my brother's got one of this. He had like an Atari 2600 thing with all the games built in, and I remember playing classics like the one where you're the little policeman and you've got to chase the baddie.
Keystone Capers.
Yep. Yeah. It had Spider-Man, Oink, and loads of other classic games.
There's some great games on the Atari 2600, but just unfortunately, the majority of them don't appear on this console release, you know, because, like I said, it's just Atari games, and don't get me wrong, there are some good games on there, but I'd prefer it if they could include other stuff from other publishers.
Right, so I'll tell you what, let's move on to the next little bit of news. What do you want to tell us about then?
Right, okay, well, we mentioned this on the old podcast. It was Double Dragon 2 is being released on Xbox Live.
Right.
But it seems to be that the release date is still unconfirmed. It was due at the end of September, early October. Now, it's early October and there's still no news on it. So,
what do you think that means, Em?
Well, I think they're either going to scrap it or maybe, I don't know if Xbox don't want it actually released on their system or not. It didn't look too great, did it?
It didn't. I mean, I think the graphics, there were meant to be an update of the Double Dragon graphics. And they use some sort of like 3D dodgy thing. Basically, it looks like it was done on a Sega Saturn.
It does look very dated. Yeah, and I don't know. Just the gameplay itself didn't look too hot either.
I thought it was just basically the old game, just reskinned, repainted with 3D graphics. So it's not the old game, is it then?
Not really. No, it's just the scrolling beat 'em up, and they're using Double Dragon name to sell it. By that's the impression I get. So as you know, I'm a huge Double Dragon fan, and I should be getting excited when there's a new Double Dragon game announced. But every time it happens now, the iPhone game was very disappointing. This doesn't look any better. So, yeah.
And are you still going to get it?
I probably will, because I'm...
after all you said.
I'm that stupid. I'm still going to get it. Yeah, just to see what it's like, just to prove my point, if it does eventually get released. But, yeah, we should have heard something by now, because I believe they first announced it back in late June, early July. And like I said, it was meant to be released at the end of September, / early October, and here we are, early October, and still no news on it. So
right, so I'll tell you what, let me move on to my next bit of news. It is, there's a new Speccy app on the iPhone. Now, the beauty of this Speccy app, I think it's called Speccy Tape.
Yep.
I can't remember who it's made by. Let's have a little look. I'll do a bit of research on this. It's made by some... Oh, God, can I pronounce this? Wojciech...
Probably,
it's made by...
They're probably Polish.
I think probably, Russian. Yeah. Polish or Russian. I think I can say his surname. Lazarski. Yeah, it's made by this guy, W. Lazarski. And the beauty of this iPhone app is that you can connect it to your old Spectrum, if you have a Spectrum, with a little cable. And through the iPhone, you can connect to World of Spectrum, and you can select any game that World of Spectrum have got on their site and load it up.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, because there's nothing... You can't beat playing a game via your Spectrum. It's on the keyboard. You can plug in your old joysticks. So it's better than emulation, and the beauty of it, you can play mostly any game on World of Spectrum.
That's it, because obviously, we're now how many years after the last Spectrum game was released? I think officially it was probably around 1993. And obviously they were either released on disc or tape, and these deteriorate over years. So, anyone out there who's got the actual hardware and they're trying to still load games up from tape or disc, they might be having problems loading those old games.
Yeah.
So now you just hook your iPhone up to it and away you go. So, yeah, I think that's a great little app. I'm definitely interested in that.
I think that app, how much was it? Was it a free app or was it $1.99? I can't remember. Because I've got it on my iPhone.
Yeah, it wasn't too expensive.
I remember when I first came across it, I thought, oh my God, I've got to let you know about this, Swainy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know about this before I sent you the link?
I did, only because I do use World of Spectrum fairly often, and it was announced on there, I think it was last week or the week before. So, yeah, I'd only seen it, literally a couple of hours before you'd emailed me. So
It's a brilliant little app, and I tell you what, I need to pick myself up a ZX Spectrum. I have got a Spectrum Plus 3, but it just doesn't work. I think it's just because it's just been left.
Yeah, and the problem with the Plus 3 was a lot of the actual machines, the audio came through, basically it was amplified too high, so the music on a lot of the games and the sound effects sounded horrible. It sounded like those underwater. I remember my friend had one, and he had to tinker about with it to change something on there that, reduced the sound on it. But
do you have a Spectrum, Swainy?
I've got two, but I don't know. I've got one that I bought off of eBay a couple of years ago, and that's a Spectrum Plus 2A, which is the black Plus 2.
Yeah, I have the grey one.
And that's been converted so it can use a SCART lead, so the picture's really nice and sharp.
Oh, fantastic.
And I have got my original grey Spectrum Plus 2. I think that's at my mum and dad's up in their loft somewhere.
I think that's what I'm going to go for, because although I had the 48K, it wasn't until I got my Plus 2 that I really fell in love with it, because 128K was a huge leap, I felt, at the time from 48K in terms of sound and music.
Yeah.
But how did you go about connecting iPhone? Basically,
I think what it is, if you remember, on the old ZX Spectrum 48K machines, you'd have a tape recorder attached to your machine via a lead. It's just like a phono lead, if I remember right.
Yeah.
And it's something similar to that. So it just plugs into the headphone jack on the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I should imagine you can just buy the lead in Maplin's. I don't think it's anything special. So, you just plug that into your headphone set on the iPhone, and then it plugs into the back of the Plus 2. It does explain it on the iPhone, you know, when you get the app. It tells you all about it. So, yeah, it's fairly simple to do.
And I think the best thing is, though, cause although I love having Spectrum game apps on my iPhone, there's a few other good ones, but you can't really control them that well. And that's why it's the beauty of it. You can play it on the telly, on the proper Spectrum, and on a proper joystick if you prefer it.
Yeah, it's something special about playing these old games on the actual old system. Like I've said before many times, you know, I mainly use emulation. But if I had the room and I didn't have a moaning wife or a moaning daughter, I would still be using these old systems. So, yeah, I'm definitely all for it. It's a great little app.
Right, so let's move on to the next bit of the news, which, I'll talk a little bit about, and then you can sort of, like, go on as well. Lefarious from YouTube has also got a site called nestbit.com, and not only does he do an amazing job on that site and on his YouTube channel, he's come out with an amazing magazine called Nestbit. Is it magazine?
Yes.
Let's have a little look. I'm going to put a link into that.
It's very, very well done. Looks very professional.
Yeah, I mean, I might try and steal that idea, but I don't know if it will come out as good as Lefarious's one. But yeah, good on you, Keith, because I think that's absolutely fantastic. And how much does this issue go for? Let's have a little look.
Also, I'm going to just make a note. I'm pretty sure he's going to be selling actual printed issues at Replay Expo.
Yeah, that's what he sent me an email basically saying he's going to have a little store and he's going to be selling them, and he's saying he's going to include a little gift with it as well.
Yeah.
I don't know what the gift's going to be, but I tell you what, from what I can see from this magazine, it looks beautiful. From the picture he's got on his site, it's got the Joy of Sticks. Sounds a bit naughty. It's got a Terminator 2 thing, Nestbit Homebrew, which is, I love homebrew games on the NES. Got Simpsons game reviews. This magazine looks amazing. So the hard work and effort you put into that, just...
Yeah, $1.99, I think. I was just going to say, anyone who is interested in that, please do support it, because he's put a lot of effort into this, and it does look just... Well, it looks better than most professional magazines.
Yeah. I think, you know, I was buying some of the more popular retro gaming magazines, but I think, you know what I'm going to do from now on? I'm going to get Nestbit magazine, because I think it looks amazing. It takes me back to the good old days. All right, so you can find his magazine at www.nest-bit.com. No problem. So the next thing that I want to talk about is the Replay Expo. Now, I've been calling it Retro Replay Expo, but it's actually been changed. It's called Replay Expo. So you've got tickets, I've got tickets, Glenn's got tickets, and Malk has got one of my tickets as well now. Now, why don't you tell everyone, Swainy, what Replay Expo is all about?
Well, basically, it's an exhibition of retro games. And, you know, these things are always great. I've got to admit, I've not been to a Replay Expo before. This will be my first time. But I've been to other retro events, and they're always great fun. You get a lot of old programmers and people who you know, these are people you admire. They show up and they give speeches and you get to meet them. It's always really good entertainment. You get to see a lot of old hardware that, you know, you might not have seen for years and years. There's new software being written for these old systems. It's just a great couple of days out.
Speaking about new software,
providing all goes well, we will finally be showing off a part of Double Dragon, the remake for the ZX Spectrum.
That you've done the graphics, you know, on, basically.
Book your tickets, get up there. You get to meet the likes of me, unfortunately. But you can also meet, you know, Andy, the guy who's programming the game, who I won't try and pronounce his name because I always get it wrong and embarrass myself. Yeah, so hopefully, you know, if you come along, you should be able to have a look, see how the game's running. I'm not 100% sure whether it's going to be a playable demo or just a demo that's just showing off what it does. Yet,
I think that'll get some great attention.
Hopefully,
there.
Yeah, because, you know, obviously myself, I've put a lot of time into this. The programmer has. There's another guy who's helped me out with the graphics. He actually designed the sprite of Billy Lee, and I done the rest of the animation for the sprite.
Right.
And he's doing some of the bigger graphics, like a Bobo and Machine Gun Willy, or whatever his name was. So, yeah, hopefully you'll get to see this game finally in action, because this is the strange thing. Although I've drawn all the graphics and I've seen the flick screen system working, I've not actually seen the game itself running. So if it turns out to be crap, don't blame me.
I don't know whether we mentioned, though, the Replay Expo is being held on the 5th and 6th of November, and that's being held at Norbert Castle in Blackpool. So how much are the tickets? Let's have a little look. How much are the tickets on this thing? So that way we can tell people how to get them. You need to go to replayexpo.com. And the tickets are for an adult for the weekend, £20. For under 16, it's £12. For a single day ticket, it's £12. So, yeah, they're not expensive. It's going to be an amazing event. Like Swainy said, you're going to find machines there from the olden days. Everything from ZX Spectrum, Master System, Commodore 64. Some of the machines I might not have even heard of are going to be there. You've got arcade machines there. There'll be little tournaments. And the thing that I'm looking forward to as well is Team 17 are going to be there, and they're going to be doing a little Q&A section. So it'll be fantastic to speak to those guys and ask them questions.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. They've done some great games on the Amiga, and obviously, you know, Worms that's still being published today. They're still around in one form or another. So it'd be good to hear what they've got to say. And like I said, you often get, you know, other programmers turn up, and I just find these things really interesting. I've got to admit, it's a bit of a shame it's so far up north, so a lot of people might be put off by that. But, you know, you can get some cheap B&Bs up there, which I've done.
Well, I'm going to sort of like just sleep in a cardboard box by the pier.
Well,
that's what I'll be doing.
I'm staying at Hotel Alcatraz, I think. So.
Will you be able to be let out to go to the event?
Let's hope so. I've got to check in at 2:30, and if you don't see me from that point on, you'll know that I've been entrapped.
Well, I mean, I think the other reason why I'm looking forward to going to this event, not just because it's got all the arcade machines and all these old computers and sort of like celebs, shall we call them, but it's got all the retro gaming community, and I think it will be so amazing to go to a place like this where everyone share this amazing passion. You'll be able to go up to someone, you know, I'm sure you'll recognize them from YouTube, and it'll be nice to listen, you know, to meet some of our listeners from the podcast as I'm looking forward to meeting Lafarius, who'll be, you know, selling his magazine down there. I'm looking forward to sort of just meeting Steve Benway. I've arranged to meet with him as well.
Yep, I'll have to catch up with Darren Jones, who's an old friend. Darren Jones, of course, runs, what's it called? What's that magazine called? You've never heard of it. Retro Gamer.
Darren Jones, editor of Retro Gamer, will be down there, so we'll be annoying him for a little bit. I'm hoping maybe the Oliver Twins might show up,
if
they are, I'm going to stalk them, you know, they'll probably end up calling the police and I'll probably end up getting booted out. But the reason why I'm looking forward to this so much is I've got my press pass.
Yes, you lucky devil.
I am. So I'll be walking around with a microphone and a camera trying to interview everyone. So if you see me there, I'll be wearing the not Retro Replay. I'll be wearing, forgot what my site's called then. I'll be wearing the Retro Asylum shirt. And I think, Swainy, you'll have one as
I'll
well.
I'll have one. I'll be holding the camera, following you around, stalking people.
I'll make sure it's a huge camera, so it's a hard sort of day for you there.
Yeah, and you've got to print out a Retro Asylum sticker to slap on the camera so we look really professional.
Yeah. You know what? I might do that. I might get like a little box to put around the microphone as well to make it look really official.
It. Yeah, you've got to do that.
Definitely. All right, so have you got any more news or is that
That's about it for the time being. But, you know, hopefully next time we'll be reporting on a Vectrex system being re-released. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Instead of an Atari 2600 with a load of games no one wants to play.
Exactly. Right. Next up is the other section we've got, which is Game of the Week. Now, once again, I haven't got any intro music for this. What do you reckon we should put on it, Swainy? Should we have something that goes Game of the Week?
Yes.
And sort of booming music? Or should
Game of the Week!
Game of the Week!
Ollie Murs!
Yeah, X Factor.
Rachel Abbott, whatever her name was.
Yeah, I think you should get that job presenting the X Factor.
I'll do it in the style of Dr. Claw.
Come on,
I'll get you gadgets. X Factor. No, I can't do that. That would kill my throat.
Right, so the game of the week is one of Swainy's favourite games ever.
Yep.
And, all right, in the style of the guy from X Factor, introduce the game.
Double Dragon!
Now, this is a coin-op classic, one of the greatest arcade beat-em-ups ever. Still looks amazing to this day. Tell us a little bit about it, Swainy, because you're the man who knows everything about this game.
Yes, and I probably bore everyone to death, keep going on about it. it's still a classic, so I'm going to just talk about it for one last time. It was basically Technos, they had developed a game called Renegades, which had another name in Japan, which I'm not going to try and pronounce because I always get it wrong. But basically, it was a scrolling beat-em-up. It was more or less the first of its kind. It was two players. It had interactive backgrounds. There was pit holes that you could throw people down. There was ladders you could climb up. All different sections of the background you could use. Interactive weapons, which didn't disappear when you moved on to the next section. You could take them to the next level if you knew how. It's just a great, great game, which I still believe has not been bettered.
Was this actually the first scrolling beat-em-up game, or was there another one beforehand? Now, fair enough, Renegade had a few screens, but it didn't scroll as much as, say, Double Dragon.
Yeah, Renegade's, you know, going by the home conversions, I guess it's three screens level, which the arcade was, but obviously it just scrolled from left to right. Was it the first scrolling beat-em-up? I'm trying to think. I guess Kung Fu Master was the first scrolling beat-em-up, technically.
But that you couldn't move up or down, basically.
No, it was just left to right. Whereas Double Dragon had the 3D plane, you know, you could move in and out the screen, so to speak, which I'm probably not describing it too well. But, yeah, I do believe it was certainly the first two-player beat-em-up, I think.
Let's talk about the story in this game, because back in the day, it used to be original. Since then, it's been milked and milked and milked, and it's this, yeah. So, Annie, why don't you tell us a story about Double Dragon?
Well, basically, your girlfriend, or one of the guy's girlfriends, was it Jimmy Lee or Billy? I don't know.
I thought they both had her.
Well, they do in the end, really. Yeah, twin brothers obviously shared quite a bit. It's morally wrong. Basically, your girlfriend gets kidnapped. And the great thing about Double Dragon is it's not just your girlfriend has been kidnapped, go get her. You actually see her get a punch to the stomach. She's chucked onto some guy's shoulder. And they stroll off. And that just sets the scene for the game. And, yeah, you just got to go and get her back.
What were the gang called? Called Double Dragon.
They were called, I think it was the Black Warriors or the Shadow Gang. It depended on which version you played and where it was published. Technos originally, you know, they made the game, they produced the game, they published it in Japan, and then Taito however you pronounce it, they published the American version and I think the European version, and the story was slightly different. You know, the gang's name was different. So yeah, there's two sort of stories for it. And then I think on the NES version and the Game Boy version, it's set before a nuclear war or after, no, after a nuclear war.
Yeah, after a nuclear war. But going back to the arcade then, I think what drew me towards it, Swainy, it's like you mentioned many of the things that drew me towards it, but I love the fact that it set the tone. Your girlfriend gets kidnapped, she gets punched in the stomach, they kidnap her, and then you and your brother, you know, you and a friend control, you know, Billy and Jimmy Lee.
Mm.
And it was the amount of moves you had at your disposal.
Yeah, I mean, it had some lovely moves on it. They were fairly easy to pull off. Unfortunately, with the first game, and everyone realised, you know, pretty much as soon as they played it, that if you use the elbow move, you could more or less get through the game unscathed. Yeah. I think if they had made, you know, either restricted that move or, you know, made it, I don't know, say it didn't knock people over as easily as it did, then it would have been a much harder game to play. Saying
let's
that...
Let's talk about the moves, though. You had a headbutt, you had an elbow.
Headbutt, yep. Forward kick, flying kick.
Punch.
You had a jump back kick, a roundhouse kick, uppercuts.
Knee to the gut, was that right?
Knee to the head. It was knee to the face. You actually grabbed them by the hair and kneed them in the face. Full Nelson, although that's quite hard to pull off, and you can't
really. How do you do that? I've never.
You can only do it on two player. You have to try and stand behind one of the bad guys as they get up, and you get them in a full Nelson, and then the other guy can punch, kick, whip them, baseball bat them to death, or whatever they want to do with them.
You know what? I never knew that. That is amazing.
Yeah, it's never been replicated in any of the home conversions, mainly because they were all crap. But, you know, on the arcade version, there is a way that you can grab them. You basically, like I said, you just got to move near them, and I think you just walk as they get up. You know, stand behind them. It's very awkward to do, but
because I know the baddies do that. So the baddies do grab you, and then they sort of team up on you like that. But I never knew you could do it as a two player.
Yeah, you could do it on two player. And also, there was a bit of a cheat that me and my friends discovered on mission two, which was set in the factory. You had the conveyor belt and the lift. If you got one of the bad guys, you couldn't do it to the women, you could only do it to the guys, as far as I remember.
Right.
If you got one of those in a full Nelson and you let whoever else was playing kill everyone, including the boss, you could then pick up a whip, and while you've got the bad guy in full Nelson, go up to him, keep on whipping, and he wouldn't die, so your score just went up. And of course, the more higher your score was, the more you got an extra life. So you kept doing that, and the timer had stopped because you've killed the boss.
Yeah.
So you could just stand there for like 10 or 15 minutes, and you know, by that time you'd have like 15 lives. And
how on earth did you discover all these things?
Like I said, that game, I played it as an obsession. I would run to the arcade of a lunchtime just to be the first night, because it was that popular. You know, you had to get to the arcade fairly early. And, yeah, we just played it to death, and I found out little things. It's like recently over on, slightly changing the subject, ever so slightly, but on World of Spectrum, someone mentioned about Renegade, saying that the game can only be completed if you use the flying kick. And I said, no, that's not actually the case.
Yeah.
You know, they said they couldn't even get off of level one without using a flying kick. And you can. I've done a video on it. I've not actually announced...
What, on the ZX Spectrum?
Yeah, on the ZX Spectrum version. If you play that, I'll publish the link.
I just want to say, the way I sort of do in Renegade, I walk towards the edge of the first level, get them to walk towards me, and they sort of like topple over sort of a little bit, and then I grab them, chuck them off, and I keep them back kicking, chuck them off.
You can use back kick or the throw move. You know, there's plenty of ways. But on level two, obviously, you've got the motorbikes.
Yeah.
And most people use flying kick. But there is a way you can use a back kick to get them off, and that was my main point. The hardest point on that game is level three, Big Bad Bertha, because she runs at you, and you're expected to do a flying kick to knock her over. But there is a way. There's a bug in the game. which I will show off on YouTube at one point. I'll probably do it on the Retro Asylum channel, just so everyone gets to see it. That I'll show you the tricks of the trade. So when it comes to those two games, because they played very similar, I played them extensively. I found a lot of bugs and certain things that a lot of people are probably unaware you can do in the games.
All right, let's talk about the levels in the game, the level design. Now, how many levels has Double Dragon got, Swainy?
It's four levels, but the way the game plays, it's, you know, the level design on it, it's just something that's never really been done again, apart from on the very first Double Dragon sequel, Double Dragon 2. The levels actually scroll all in one, so, you know, the game pauses at the end of level one, and then you literally walk on to the next level. It doesn't, you know, the screen doesn't fade to black, and then you reappear elsewhere, which most scrolling beat-em-ups do.
It was a nice little touch. I thought that just made it had a continuity, so that way you didn't really have a break because you could see that screen coming towards you as well, so you knew what was, you know. That was an interesting touch there. What is your favourite level in Double Dragon then, Swainy?
Probably the second level, the factory. You can have a lot of fun on that level. There's a few bugs in it that allow you to do certain things, which I always take advantage of. As in that part, you know, when you play on two-player, you can get the infinite lives, or, well, not infinite lives, but obviously a lot of extra lives. I can make the boxes turn purple.
Really? Yeah. How'd you do that then?
That's just as you finish the level. If you get onto the lift, you know, the elevator that takes you down to level three, if you take a box with you there and you just hold on to it, and then the game makes you let go of the box, well, it will tumble down and start bouncing. It bounces really high. And as the actual level three starts, basically the way they programmed it, colour palette changes for certain things, and it makes the box go purple, and you can actually take that all the way to the end of that level.
You have played that non-stop to find out all these things.
There's some silly little features on it that I know about. Yeah, there's bound to be other people who have clocked onto these things, but you've got all the oil barrels in the background, and you've got obviously the cat on one side on the dustbin and a brick wall, and on the other side there's a building with a window that's smashed.
Right.
Anyway, you know, you always get someone who just makes up blatant lies, and you know they're lying, but in the back of your mind, you kind of wish it would happen. But he used to say you could get thrown through that window and there was a bonus level.
Right.
And, you know, I used to say, yeah, all right, whatever. And he then said to me, you can get thrown up onto the balcony on the end level where Machine Gun Willy is. And that bit is true. You can
get
thrown up there and you can smash him off before he even grabs his gun. The trouble is, as soon as you do throw him off, the gun magically appears in his hand. So
how do you get thrown up there then?
You have to knock a Bobo down so he's facing the direction away
from the balcony.
The balcony, and he has to be more or less right underneath it. And if you stand where he's laying down, as he gets up, he'll throw you. And yeah, if you're in the right spot, you can end up on the balcony. If you look on YouTube and type in Double Dragon balcony, whatever, I'm sure it will come up, because I've seen it on YouTube as well.
Now, we've talked about the game, but let's talk about the movie, Swainy. Did you ever watch it, and what did you think of Double Dragon, the movie?
Right, well, I've never actually watched it in its entirety, because, you know, I saw the first, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes, and I switched it off. As much as I'm a big Double Dragon fan, I've never really got into the cartoons or the movie. It just looked ridiculous.
The cartoon was absolutely terrible. The music and the cartoon weren't too bad, but it had nothing to do with the actual game.
Yeah.
So, see, you know what?
It's strange. I was just going to say, the first game, I found it's quite realistic in the sense of a game. You know, in a scrolling beat-em-up, they can be quite silly at times. With this, with Double Dragon, you could pick the weapons up. They would never disappear unless you lost them down a hole or...
Yeah.
You know, on the very last section, you can't take what weapons you're carrying into the fortress of the enemy's base. But, you know, you could take most of the weapons all the way through. They didn't just disappear. There was no dustbins to smash up to find food in and replenish your health that way. So it's quite realistic. And then Double Dragon 2 came along, and of course things weren't so realistic because suddenly you're fighting ghosts and...
Well, you had the guy that appeared and disappeared as you beat him, that guy.
You had, he would disappear and what have you, and then you actually fought shadows of yourself on the last section. I don't know if you can remember, they rose from the ground. They identical to you, but in a different colour palette.
What was the deal with that?
I don't know, and they could fire lasers, and, it's very, very hard. And
you know, it's been a while since I finished a Double Dragon 2, so I'll give that a go. But I'll tell you what, enough about Double Dragon. Let's move on to the next section, which is Music of the Week.
Lovely.
Right, so, Sweeney, why don't you introduce the Music of the Week?
Right. But
actually, before you introduce Music of the Week, let me just quickly tell our listeners. Now, if you guys like particular music, from the good old retro gaming days, why don't you tell us, send us a little email or contact us on the site or on Twitter and basically tell us why you like that music, what it made you feel like, what sort of, why it suited the game, and then we'll play it and read out a little bit about why, you chose that. So go on then, Sweeney.
Right, this Music of the Week this week is from The Vindicator, which was an unofficial follow-up to The Green Beret. It was published by Imagine / Ocean Software. The music is none other than by Jonathan Dunn. That sounded wrong, didn't it? Done by Jonathan Dunn. didn't think about that. So, he was a great musician on the 8-bit scene. And
absolutely,
this is
superb.
A great tune. The game itself is a bit crap, especially the Spectrum version, because it's programmed by a guy called Paul Owens, who was known for just releasing games with bugs in them. But the music, especially, it's the in-game music, by the way, which is the music of the week. The title music wasn't too great, but have a listen to it. Let me know what you think. I really do enjoy this tune. I think it's one of those that's kind of gone under the radar because Jonathan Dunn done some great music. I've done it again. Jonathan done some great music over the years. Probably the most famous one is the RoboCop theme tune.
Superb.
Which was used on the Ariston advert. So, take a listen to this. It's, like I say, it goes under the radar, but I think it's a great little tune.
Really, and please let us know your feedback, what you actually think of this music. Right, so let's listen to it. Moving on to our next section is a Remake of the Week. Right, so I don't know what that was, Sweeney.
That was, remake of the week. Right, go for it, because this is your little choice.
Right, now the remake of the week is a remake of one of my favourite games ever that was out on the Commodore 64, the Spectrum and the Amstrad, and that game was Bruce Lee. Now this game is called Ultimate Bruce Lee. Now you can check this out and download it by going to bruce.ovin.net, and you just have to check out this game. Have you got that up on your screen there, Sweeney?
I'm just about to. I've just got to mention as well, you just said it was released for the Spectrum and Amstrad. Of course, the original version was on the Commodore 64, which is probably the best version. But it's playable on all three systems, wasn't it? It's a great little game. I've only seen this running as in a video on YouTube.
Yeah, it's superb, mate, honestly. So basically, you've got loads of different modes. You've got the classic mode, which is the C64 mode. You've got the... what other modes has it got? You've got the crayon mode, pen and paper mode. You've got, like, this new sort of Vectri, sort of, like, bright-coloured mode. They've got, like, a black and white mode. You've even got, like, a mode where you've got to fight infinite green Yamos and ninjas, and you keep on getting points. And every time you get points, you can unlock things. And it's just superb. Here we go. It's got a few things here that tells you. It's got Bruce Tron, Gold Lee, Survival Mode. And not only was this a classic original game, but just playing it in all these different modes makes you want to sort of play it again. Now, let me describe what the game was. You've got... You star as Bruce Lee, and it's a little platformer game. The graphics are nice and simple, and your mission is to try and collect all these lanterns and try and get to the end and defeat the wizard. Along the way, basically, you've got the green Yamo who's trying to defeat you. You've got the little ninja trying to defeat you. And the second player could be that could have controlled the green Yamo as well. It was an amazing game, Sweeney. What were your thoughts on it?
Well, I played it on the ZX Spectrum. I didn't actually get to play the Commodore 64 version. I used to love it, I've got to admit. It was just one of those games so easy to get into. You didn't really need to read the instructions. You know, you knew you could just had to... collect the keys, hit the guys. I love the way you could knock them down holes. And very good little game, especially, you know, throughout early this came out originally. It was, although it's a very basic looking game, I guess, it's ahead of its time in gameplay, I think.
I think, and it's still one of the best 8-bit computer games ever. Now, somewhere along the line, me and Sweeney are going to do our top 50 favourite games. And I'll tell you what, this will definitely be included in mine. Let me just quickly plug who actually made this game. This game was made by Trevor, Smiler Story, Stuart Collier, and the title music's done by Infamous. And, yeah, big shout-out to those guys, because they've done a superb job in this, Sweeney.
Yeah, Smiler always does some lovely graphics on these games.
Yeah, absolutely superb. So please check this game out and let us know what you think of it. Right, so what is next in Sweeney?
Right, what have we got? Let's have a look. Ah, it's the Quizmaster time, and you're going to test me under pressure.
Right, so yeah, talking about under pressure, I've been under pressure trying to fix a site, so technically I haven't got any questions for you. But yeah, so this next section, the Quizmaster, maybe in the next podcast I'll be a little bit more organised and we will have questions to test people. Now, it'll be similar to the old podcast, but we'll do things slightly different. Meantime, let me quickly plug the 1HMPS Retro podcast, which is hosted by things like that himself.
Ding!
That's it, a point to you. And Malk. So, yeah, check out that where they talk about retro gaming and other things. So, what is our next section then, Sweeney?
Our next section is Q&A.
Okay, now once again, we've got a Q&A section, but because we've just started this podcast, we've got no one who sent us any Q&A, so I'll put you on the spot now.
Go on.
Why don't you give me a Q&A that I can answer, and I'll fire one right back at you.
Q&A, oh my. What was the first Spectrum game you ever bought?
Right, so, first Spectrum games I ever bought or played?
I'll go for played.
Treasure Island, which came with my Spectrum Plus 2.
Ah.
And that game's also known as another sort of thing. Basically, it got the graphics redrawn. But basically, you play the thing. You play this little pirate, and it's interesting style of gameplay because first of all, you start off on this little road, and you've got to cross this path to get to the other side, sort of like Frogger in a way. And then in the second bit, you've got to jump these barrels and try and avoid getting hit by these big pirate hands who are trying to punch you.
Okay.
And then the third section is like a big sort of map area where you have to search for things. And it was just fun exploring. It's a fun little game. Not the greatest, but enjoyed it.
Hmm. Yeah, sounds good. I don't think I've ever played it.
Right, so let me try and think of a question for you then. Someone's phone's about to go off then. All right. Codemasters, I love Codemasters. What was your favourite Codemasters game?
Oh, well, obviously I enjoyed the Dizzy games, but there's one Codemaster game that always springs into my mind when anyone ever mentions the company, and that is probably ATV, which was All Terrain Simulator Vehicle something or other. It's a very good two-player game. It's a little bit slow on the Spectrum, but it's very playable. Basically, can you remember Kickstart?
Yeah, I love Kickstart.
It's similar to that, but it was on like a little quad bike, and it ran quite a bit slower to Kickstart.
Graphics were bigger as
well,
weren't
they?
That's
right, they were bigger, and it's split screen. And you had silly things. You was jumping over seals who were bouncing balls on their nose. But yeah, it's just a very fun game. It had some nice 48k beeper music, and yeah, it's just a great little game. And you know, you come across little gems like that for $1.99, and then you'd buy something another week for a tenner, and it'd be crap. And you just
I think that's one of the things, though, Sweeney. With Codemasters, you knew you were going to get a budget game and quality, and that's what Codemasters represented, was quality budget gaming.
Yeah, most of their releases were great little games. Obviously, there was a few crappy ones in there, but the majority of the time, like you said, you're paying £2, so your expectations ain't too high, but every now and then you'd get a lovely little gem of a game. I miss those days.
Yeah, me too, actually. All right, so, yeah, in the future, guys, we need Q&A questions. Now, they don't have to be just about retro gaming. They can be, like, what was the first girl you ever kissed? You know, it can be anything. What is your favourite movie? Where would you go on a holiday? If you could be stranded on a desert island, what would you take with you? It can be those sort of questions. You can be as rude, as crude, or as nice and polite as possible to put me and my co-host on the spot, basically. So let's start rounding this up. Now, let me quickly tell you where you can find us. The website, hopefully once it's up, is retroasylum.com. Next is you can find us at Tumblr, and that's retroasylum, and then the letters dot com. And then you can find us at Twitter as well, which is retroasylum. And yeah, you can find me on YouTube as well, which is retroasylum.com. And the most important thing is as well, guys, is we need iTunes reviews, because iTunes reviews really motivates us to actually carry on doing these wonderful podcasts, because we enjoy making them. It just takes a little bit of time. All you have to do is just sort of like write a little bit about what you liked about the podcast, give us a 5-star review, tell your friends about it, and that makes us incredibly happy and pushes us up the iTunes charts. Anything else you want to say then, Sweeney?
Well, I'd like to say I've enjoyed recording this podcast. Like I said, I've got great hopes for the new site and everything we do new. Hopefully, you know, we'll get to see a few people at the Replay Expo. So if you do see us with the little logo on our shirt or camera or microphone, whatever we've got, please do come up to us and start stalking us, maybe.
Definitely. Right, so we're going to go now. So goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
And just to take us out, we're going to play a Bomb the Bass Mega Blast remix, which is done by Gibbs. So hopefully you enjoy that. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
DJ, stop the music!
My real name this time as opposed to the Real Open Maniac. I sound like a right prick when I say that. So I think, yeah, I'm just going to go for Andy.
Yeah, well, call me either Swainy or Dean. I don't mind, mate, whatever you...
Right, I'll call you Swainy. Yeah, Swainy sounds cool. I wish I had an alternative like that. And with me now is my co-host, the one...
The one. And I'm butting in, the one
you
and only, Swainy.
Don't worry, mate, I'll edit out that so it sounds seamless.
Did you want to redo that?
Yeah, fuck it, let's try it again.
Yeah, let's try it again. Let me go to the link quickly, because I'm very unprofessional.
That's all right, mate. By the time you say, let me go to the link... You would have had your whole list there, and so I would have edited that out.
Good.
And if you want to find a link to that, go to www.ness/bit.com. I messed that up, but oh well.
Maybe you might want to redo that bit.
Music. Anyway, where were we then, Swainy?
Right, yeah, so we were talking about the balcony, I think.
Yeah, we were talking about the balcony. Yeah. Then we had moved on to something else. I can't remember. I'll tell you what. I think the whole podcast today has been Double Dragon themes.
Yeah, everyone will be thinking, why does he always talk about Double Dragon?
That's all he ever talks about, people, is Double Dragon.
I am Double Dragon obsessed.